Amen. Isn't the Lord good? All the time. That's right. I love the Lord. I love His Word. I love coming into the house of God and worshiping with my brothers and my sisters. I honestly don't know how I would have lived life any other way. I can't imagine it. And I thank God for my parents who drug me to church every Sunday morning, every Wednesday. I appreciated it. It wasn't always fun. It wasn't always what I wanted to do. But being around it and being in the presence of it exposed me to it. And we have children in here today. And I want to have them come down to the front today. If we can get Salithia and her team to bring the children down front. I'm going to have a kind of a family-oriented message today. And I want to include the children in that. So, and as they're doing that, I'll go ahead and open up today with prayer. Father, we just thank You for what You want to do today. Lord, we thank You for our family, our friends. We thank You, God, that, Lord, You wanted us to assemble together. Lord, You wanted us to come together and worship together and learn the Word of God together, to work together to advance the kingdom of God. And Lord, I thank You today that as we are going to have festivities afterwards, food and fellowship, we just pray that during this time, Lord, that our hearts be open and ready to receive Your Word, what You have to speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. My prayer whenever I preach is that the congregation would be good ground. That was something that was taught to me when I was growing up, to be good ground. Allow your life to be good ground for the Word of God. You know, whenever you're planting seeds, you want to plant it in good ground. You plant it in sand or some of the type of dirt that's not got any nutrients, doesn't have anything to absorb it or get ready for it, then it's not going to grow. It's not going to do anything. And the Bible talks about casting out the Word against rocks and weeds and thorns that would choke out the Word of God. This morning, my prayer for you is that our hearts would be good ground so that we can receive the seed of the Word, amen, and be able to absorb it into our life, and that there would be nothing that would choke it out, nothing that would reject it, but to receive it, amen. I want to talk about David today. I love the story of David and the giant. It's a great story, but it's so applicable to our life because we all face giants. We all have things that we come against. We've talked about some of those today. Depression, anxiety, financial trouble, health issues. All of those things can become giants to us in the land. And people will live with some of these things for a long time. And David was a shepherd boy. He's one of my favorite Bible characters, I think, because he reminds me that even just a shepherd boy, one of the least of his family, the one that was overlooked, the one that was cast aside, was the one who became king. And I love that story because doesn't God just work that way? Doesn't God love to just take the most unlikely person and make them an instrument of His will? Take Moses, an unlikely candidate. Gideon, an unlikely candidate. But yet God did something amazing and extraordinary through them, and that's what He did through David. And this was just another opportunity David had to demonstrate God's greatness in his life. First of all, you have to make your stand. If you're going to attack a giant, if you're going to take action against a giant, we need to take a stand. We need to know what it is that we're standing against. Amen? And say your giant is something in sickness or something financial, you've got to know where to take your stand. David heard that a giant was defying the living God. He was in the field, and his dad said, you need to go send some supplies to your brothers in battle, and I'm going to send you. So he goes to check on his sons, Jesse's sons. He goes to check on his brothers, and so he gets there, and what does he find when he gets there? All of the Israel army is cowering behind rocks, behind trees. They're basically afraid of a giant named Goliath. And Goliath is threatening this army. He's their champion, the Philistine champion. He's the best that they have, and he's a giant, and he's standing there. But not only that, he's defying the army of Israel, but he's defying the living God. And David walks up on this. And so when we have situations in our life, we know that the enemy is defying what we believe. The doctor tells you, you got something terminal that defies the life that's inside of you, that God has placed in you. When your bank tells you that you're broke and you have nothing, and you're worth nothing, that defies the logic that God has cattle on 1,000 hills and His riches, or He will supply our need according to His riches and His glory.
And when the enemy tries to defy the truths that you know in your life, that's a giant. And he's trying to mock you and he's trying to tear you down. And that's where we take our stand. And where the Israel army and King Saul were all cowering, David walked up on this. He walked up on this situation and he heard the enemy defying his living God, and something rose up within him. And church, that's what needs to rise in the church. That's what needs to rise in our homes and in our families. When we hear the enemy defying the living God, something needs to rise up in us and we take a stand. First, we have to say, this far and no further. We have to draw the line, and that's it. No more movement. No more advance. Maybe we've been lazy. Maybe we haven't been fighting. Maybe we've been cowering a little bit. But we have to stand up like David and say, no more. I've heard enough of this giant. And David said in 1 Samuel 17:29, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? His brothers hear him talking about Goliath and how are you listening to this? How are you standing this? And they're saying, David, you've just come off the shepherd field. You do not know what you're talking about. We've been in battle. We've been sitting here waiting and we've been listening to this all day or however long that they were doing this. And you've just walked up. You don't know what you're talking about. And David said, what have I done? Don't you have a cause? Don't we have a living God that will stand with us and fight with us? And David's ready to do something. So he has taken his stand. And in verse 31, it says, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. We have to know what we believe and be prepared to stand firm. Everyone but David was afraid. Let's think about that for just 1 minute. You ever seen television shows or movies with a great army? You know, I always like to refer to Lord of the Rings because they had such a huge army, thousands of warriors on the battlefield. And you can imagine these two armies standing in front of each other, ready to do battle. And you've got this giant standing in the middle, and he's shouting out curses, he's shouting out defilement, and all this kind of stuff. But then you've got this army on the other side. It's cowering down, including the king. The king was cowering down. And David walks up on this. A shepherd boy walks up on this and has this courage, has this fight, and this tenacity inside of him. But we have to make our stand. Number two, you have to be who you are. This is very important because sometimes we try to come into battle with someone else's armor on. We try to come into battle being someone else. Maybe we've got a giant in the kingdom of God that we look up to, and we try to. I've seen this several times where ministers will pattern their ministry after someone else and try to do almost exactly what they do, almost to the letter. It's almost kind of humorous to watch because they're like a copy of them. And in verse 38 it says that Saul tried to give David his armor. He says, so Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took off the armor. Sometimes we'll try to put on someone else's armor. We'll see a way that someone did it. We'll see a way that someone fought. Well, maybe we'll use the weapons that they did. I'll give you an example of this. I am not my father. I can't wear his armor. I can't do ministry like my father because I am who God made me to be. Now, there'll be a lot of things that are similar to us because he raised me. And there are things that I've picked up from him. Good wisdom, godly things that I have picked up from my dad. But I can't wear his armor. I have to fight battles with the weapons that I've tested. I have to fight with the things that I know. And I have to know what God has called me to do and what he's called me to be. So that's one of the things we have to do. We have to know who we are. And we've got to use the weapons and the armor and the things that God has set before us. Amen? We have to find a weapon. Our weapon is the Word of God. The Bible says it's a two-edged sword. And in verse 40, it says, he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, in a pouch in which he had. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now see, David was not new to using a sling. This wasn't the first time that he picked up a weapon. To defend his sheep, he had to use the weapons that he had. He had a staff. He had a sling. And he was prepared to use them. He wrestled the lion. He wrestled the bear. He was not unaccustomed to fighting for what he believed in. And in that time, it was guarding his sheep. This giant was just another obstacle for him. This giant was just another thing for him to use what he has tested against another enemy. Church, we've all been through battles. Some small, some great. And we've all used the Word of God. We've all used the Scriptures. We know what the Scriptures against the enemy are. And we can use that sword to smite the enemy. We've proven in battle before. But we have to find our weapon. David knew what he was going to use. Why he got 5 stones, I don't know. He only needed one, amen? But he went ahead and got some. Maybe he was ready to start fighting the whole army after that. I'll take on Goliath and everybody. Come on. Number 4, we don't need to listen to negative voices. This is a big one. Because a lot of times, especially young people, a lot of times we'll hear things from other people saying, well, you're not ready. This is not for you. You're too young. You're too short. You're too tall. We'll hear negative voices, and we'll hear them from the enemy. He'll speak them to our innermost being. He'll try to tell us that we're not any good. You don't know the Bible like some other people do. You don't have the speaking skills that other people do. You don't have the musical skills some people do. You're just worthless to the kingdom of God. And those are negative voices that we hear. David heard things. That he's inexperienced. That he was too small. That you don't know what you're up against. This is too much for you to handle. See, David was listening to those voices. But he had something else that he was listening to. And it was the voice of God. It says, I can do all things. Amen? We know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We do not have to cower when those giants come in our life. We do not have to cower down whenever the enemy tries to wage war against us. Because it's not in my own strength. Amen? It's not in my own might, but it's by the Spirit of God that we fight and do battle. David knew he wasn't going to come in his own strength. David knew that he wasn't. So those negative voices that try to come against us, and the enemy is bad about that. He tries his best to discourage you from doing what God has called you to do or doing whatever it is that you need to do in battle. We need to listen to the small voice inside of us. Even King Saul tried to speak negative words to David. And going back to our weapons and our armor, we need to draw from what we've learned. Remember the past battles that you fought. Draw strength from your victories. Take the experience and apply the same level of faith to the victories that you had before. It doesn't matter how big. What do they say? The bigger it is, the harder it falls, right? And I believe that there's no immovable object for God. Everything is movable. Even the mountains are movable to God. David told Saul about the battles that he had won. In verse 34 it says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defiled the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver his hand, he will deliver it from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. I believe in that moment that there was an anointing that rose up. I believe that even Saul at that moment felt the power and presence of God when he was telling him, there is no one that's going to stand against my God. I have fought the lion. I have fought the bear. I'm not afraid of this uncircumcised Philistine. I'm going to stand for what I believe. I'm going to stand for what I know. That God is my God. And no giant is going to step on him. No giant is going to come into my land. So David begins to approach Goliath. I mean, I could just see this. Can you just get a mental image of this for just a minute? Goliath is probably just a little bit taller than that wall. And he's standing there, he's looking up to him, and this little boy comes out. And David was probably between the age of 15 and 19. He was a teenager. So at this time, he was probably like 16, 17, 18 years old. Dylan, why don't you stand up for just a minute? So you got David here, and Goliath. Thank you, Dylan, I appreciate it. So you got a teenager standing there, and you got this huge, now, and the Bible describes what he's wearing. And it's heavy, and he's got all his armor on, and you could just hear him laugh.
Ha, 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 who is this little kid going to fight me? I'm Goliath, the champion of the Philistine army.
You could just imagine this huge guy and this little guy. I had a picture that I showed the youth one time. I wanted to get it up here, but I didn't have time. But it's just this sumo wrestler who's kind of standing against this little kid, and it's just hilarious. It's this image of this David and Goliath kind of analogy here. But we have to finish the enemy. This is very important. David didn't just kill Goliath. He removed his head. And I think this is the one that we stop at. I think a lot of us probably are accustomed to fighting the giant. Maybe even destroying the giant. But I think we stop sometimes and we don't cut off the head of the giant. And sometimes we leave a little bit of something behind that needs to be taken care of. Because why do we continue to fight the same giant over and over and over again? And you know what I'm talking about. You know those times when you've defeated that giant and you had a victory in your life, but then all of a sudden next week, next month, a year later, 5 years later, it rears its ugly head again and we cower down. And we've already fought the battle. We've already won the battle, but somehow it survived and it came back around. We didn't take off the head. And I think David was sending a message to the Philistine army to say, I took care of your giant. And he held his head up over his body and he said, look at this. This is what we'll do to every one of you that tries to come into our land, defying my God. And that's not just that one giant, that's every giant. Amen? In verse 45, it says, then David said to the Philistine, you come with a sword and with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. I'm going to stop there. He's sitting there telling Goliath what I'm fixing to do to you. You've come in here, you've made fun of me. You told me that I'm small. You told me that I'm insignificant. You told me I have nothing to bring, nothing to add. But I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord, I'm going to take your life and I'm going to take your head. Amen? We got to start looking at the devil like that. We can't be cowering and we can't be, well, the Bible says, no, you can't do that. No, we got to stand in authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And we got to be confident in what we know. Amen? Too many times we've been a little bit shy about it. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds and the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all of the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. 48 says, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't walk, but he ran. He was ready. Amen. Then David put in his hand. He put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in his hand. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took the Philistine's sword, the very thing that was going to be brought against him, the very attack that was going to be brought against him, he took it and he killed him. He cut off his head, severed it from his body, and held it over him and said, the victory is the Lord's. Amen? Church, we got to finish the job. We can't just stop at just quoting the scripture. We can't just stop at taking the stand. We can't just stop at putting on the armor. We got to finish it. We've got to work to keep it out of our life. These giants that come against us, they're going to try to come again. But if we're ready and we take off the head, it has no place in our life. The devil tries to get a foothold all the time. He tries to get just a little bit. You ever tried to shut a door and someone put their foot in that door and to keep it from closing all the way? You can't close it because their shoe is blocking it. It's stopping it. That's all they need is to get just a foothold and then they can push their way in. No, we got to cut off the head. It can't have a place in our lives anymore. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close in prayer.